We turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Our verse for today is verse 9. I'll refer to some of the context, but likely not go to those verses. You might keep it open to see some things I'll point to, especially in the beginning of the sermon. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Let me explain. It's difficult for me not to continue the series in Numbers right now. It is so connected with our text last week. There's a three-part series. Just as there were was last time, earlier in Numbers, which I had to break up, and I didn't like doing that either. But I felt like I needed more time. And partly because of the way this week went, partly because I know what's on my plate for next week. So all my work that's done will be really helpful to have for next week being ahead. Also, there's a book that I started several years ago for the last membership class. And I'm really trying to finish it before I get to number 17 to preach. It's Gillespie's book, Aaron's Rod's Blossoming. And I just don't want to. I need to use that excuse to get the book finished. And it's very good. I'm enjoying it. There's a lot of amazing stuff. But I have quite a bit to read still. So that's another reason I want to have that read before we get to number 17. And if I had finished number 16 today, which I almost planned to, I don't know that I would have had time to finish the book. So I appreciate your grace, and I just have to trust in God's grace. And I mentioned that because I was tired this morning trying to determine what I was going to preach to you. And it was one of those days again where I almost said, I don't know that I can. I think I may have to rely on a sermon video. And I simply bring that up because God always shows that He's sufficient. His grace is sufficient. He provided. And I found I needed this message today. I often say, well, I trust, Lord, there must be something else you want us to hear today. We'll get back to the other scripture. Oh, trust me, beloved, God helping us, we will. But there must be something He wants us to hear today, and I trust you must need this today too. Do we not need more help knowing God's grace is sufficient for us? Indeed. So as we come to the means of grace today, especially the reading, the preaching of His word, and the Lord's Supper tonight, let's pray. Come to the Lord with our sufferings and our thorns and our trials and ask that God would remove them, but if not, that His grace would be sufficient for us. And in fact, may the Lord help us more and more, not even to worry so much about the thorn being removed, but that He'd give us more grace. Hear now the word of God, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let me read that again. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Beloved, God is responding to Paul in what he says. Paul is crying out in verse 8 for relief. He is begging God to relieve him of his suffering. Three times, please remove this thorn from my side. Please. It hurts that bad. He's begging God three times, please remove it. We don't necessarily know what it is. It doesn't really matter. The point is it had a sharp point. And every time he moved, there was pain. And what is God's reply in our scripture today, verse 9? Paul is asking for relief. He's requesting relief, that the thorn would be taken away, that the pain would be relieved. God's reply is not to relieve it. God's reply is not to relieve his troublesome thorn, but to relieve him of his troubling discontentment about the thorn. Paul's response to God is what? It's actually relief. It isn't the way he thought he'd get it, but it's the best relief he could have. Paul's response is relief in God to endure suffering to glorify God. You see, he's comforted and encouraged and reinvigorated Because he knows he's got a purpose given to his pain. And he has provision for his pain. So he prepares and he praises God through the pain. You see, suffering is to keep you humble, verse 7. If God is going to entrust you with great things, he's going to lay you low with heavy burdens. So he can entrust you to stay humble. So he won't later have to bring you down. But the other purpose to the pain is here in verse 9. It's to give you God's grace. It's to cry out to God that he would give you more of his grace. And that ultimate purpose of the grace, though, is something else, that you would give God more glory. Jesus gives you grief, that you would cry out for more grace. And as he gives you more grace, you give him more glory. That's the point of the text, really. God gives his grace in sufficient supply. Why? For you to glorify him contentedly through your suffering. God gives his grace in sufficient supply for you to glorify him contentedly through your suffering. Not necessarily out of your suffering, but within it. Jerry Bridges writes this, and I've gone to his devotional on holiness for some thoughts for the scriptures and the sermons today. He writes this, it struck me, and I've wanted to share it with you, and he'll have a similar comment in tonight's sermon I'll share with you. He says this, and when he says it, he really sets it up like, look, I say this as humbly and as careful as I can. Because he's not wanting to minimize suffering. In fact, this is a man in his book, Trusting God, who shares, he's writing the book while his wife's dying, I believe, from cancer, his first wife. You know, he and you learn a lot of other things about his life, even growing up as a child. This man knows suffering. And he wrote the book, Trusting God, and we'll think about that as well a little bit tonight. He writes this, God's grace is not given to make us feel better, but to glorify him. And his verse for the devotional that he's talking, in which I'm quoting, is our verse for today. God's grace is not given to make us feel better, but to glorify him. The issue is whether we honor God by the way we respond to our circumstances. So much glory can be given to God by how we suffer for him. I don't think there's a way we can better glorify God than how we suffer for him. It's easy to glorify him when he gives us good and easy things. I'm not sure we actually glorify him nearly as much as when we praise him when we suffer. Though he slay us, yet will we trust in him. Is a much more meaningful witness. And shows, I would think, the greatest glory as we are laid lower, that he would be lifted up higher. When you suffer, beloved, your goal should not be to be saved from your suffering. Your goal should be to serve your Savior in your suffering. Christian, Christ calls you to suffer. That's what Christianity is in this life. It's the calling upon your life, is to suffer. But also, Christian, Christ supplies your means to sustain you in your suffering. That is, God's grace is sufficient for you. That's the message for you today. God's grace is sufficient for you. And what you need to say to yourself very often in the mirror, or as your face is on the floor, you need to say to yourself, God's grace is sufficient for you. That's the only answer you're going to have a lot of the time. God's grace is sufficient for you. And you will discover it is. And only it is. God's grace is sufficient for you, beloved. Let's think about the word sufficient. Jerry Bridges points out something really striking, very helpful. The Greek word for sufficient in our text is translated elsewhere as content or contented. Such as in 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Or it could have been translated, let it be sufficient. Same thing, Philippians 4:11. Where does Paul write that? While he's in prison. And he writes there in prison, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Same Greek word for sufficient in our text. Because God's grace is sufficient, we can be content. That word content, that Greek word for content or sufficient, means self-sufficient, satisfied. Not in yourself, but in Christ. You have what you need. His grace is sufficient for you to be satisfied, for you to be content in all things. Paul says, I've learned to be content in all things, abased or abound, bad things, good things. I've learned to be content. I've learned to be satisfied in the moment. I've learned to have Christ's grace be sufficient for me. I don't remember off the cuff which comes first, but it's interesting to read this, think of that later after Corinthians. He's begging God here in Corinthians, please help me. And God says, I will. I'll give you more contentment in my grace. And we see Paul say, I've learned God's grace in Christ is sufficient for me. May we learn the lesson. Same thing in Matthew 6:34. Jesus is saying, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Same word. Sufficient. God's grace is sufficient for you. You can be content or sufficient in all things. Even the day of evil is sufficient for you. That is, God's grace is sufficient for just getting through the day. You know, one of our themes right now in our family is, can I get through today? Yeah, I can get through today. God's grace is sufficient. I can get through today. That's enough. Today is enough, Jesus says. It's sufficient. My grace is sufficient for today. Today is sufficient for you to be suffering through. Don't worry about whether or not you will suffer tomorrow. Isn't that a lot of what makes our suffering the worse? Will it ever stop? Paul's teaching us, maybe, maybe not. That doesn't mean you can't be content. That doesn't mean you can't right now, by God's grace, have everything you need. My power. Oh, God teaches us in our suffering, we are not powerful. We are weak. And we need that lesson. We need to be taught to cry. It is weak not to cry, because we're relying on our own strength. So he'll make us cry, so we rely on his strength, his power. He wants to contrast his mighty power in our puny weakness. That's contrasted there twice. God's power will supply what is needed to suffer. And God's power will be shown. It'll be displayed by supplying it for Paul's weakness in his suffering. And sometimes it's like, I'm not going to take away your suffering. That will remove your witness to my power. Now remember, disclaimers, we've learned. It's okay to ask for lawful means of being relieved of things. It's not that we can't offer up our supplications unto the Lord. But maybe we need to ask for more grace to suffer rather than to have suffer removed. Maybe we need to ask that so that we can truly learn, as Paul has, in ways we haven't yet, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, when I'm weak, he is strong, Paul says. When I'm weaker, his strength is shown mightier, so I can learn to be content in all things. Why? Ultimately, because then I can show Christ's strength in me through all things. How are you getting through this? Christ's strength. I'm weak, I'm broken. Christ is strong, and his grace is sufficient. Is that a gospel witness, beloved? Might that draw someone to his body? Who is speaking in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, after all? My Bible has the text in red, indicating it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the same Jesus who we know says, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake you. The same Jesus who Paul says is my strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's the one strengthening us here. I am sufficient for you. As your prophet, as your priest, and as your king, I am sufficient for you to suffer for me. You don't need less suffering, beloved. And again, that's not to make light of suffering. We'll think about that more in a moment. But you don't need less suffering. What you need is more of your Savior. You don't need to lose your suffering, but to be lost in your Lord, the suffering servant. Like Paul, crying out is okay. Suffering is real. We see that. But the thing is, the Lord isn't necessarily going to say, you don't have to suffer for me. But he's going to give you what you need to suffer for him. And suffering is real, and suffering can last a long time, we're seeing. God may call you and I to suffer for a long time. I've said to the children this week, the Lord, I'm looking for a wife and a mommy, and I think he'll provide her. But if he doesn't, we'll be okay. The Lord is sufficient for us. Time isn't necessarily going to heal all wounds, you see. There's no gospel promise about that. In fact, I couldn't help but think of a song recently I've been listening to. You see, time doesn't necessarily heal all wounds. It just sometimes stretches them out. It stretches you out over the rack. Oh, you know, you get more grace. You learn how to deal with things, but it never goes away. The terrible, horrible losses and suffering, that never goes away. And then just when you think it does, boom. As one man lamented in a song, Goodwill store, I got a bunch of CDs real cheap. Couldn't help it there. I was waiting for Rachel to look through some things, and I always make her, thou shalt go look through the pretty dresses. I'm going to get you another one. Okay. I was like, you girls, why do you always give me a hard time? You should be glad Dad wants to get you dresses. They're lovely and modest and beautiful and inexpensive, but I digress. So while I'm waiting, I'm thumbing through the CDs, and I find a couple of greatest hit CDs of some of the artists I grew up with, and I couldn't resist. And we've been listening to them driving sometimes, and one of the songs has really, really been resonating with me in a melancholy way. This songwriter lost his son young. I believe he fell out a window. And that's the context of the song that he wrote, Tears in Heaven. And as he's dearly missing his departed son, he wrote this. And this really resonated with me. It's just really been on my heart. Time can bring you down. Time can bend your knees. Time can break your heart. Have you begging, please? Have you begging, please? Time is not necessarily going to bring relief. But unlike that songwriter, instead, like Paul, your melancholy moans can have meaning in your Messiah, You see, your weakness and suffering actually gives you opportunities to fellowship with Christ in his sufferings and lift high his cross, pointing to why he went to the cross, remembering he has asked to have his cup taken away, and nevertheless he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." So you can pray, so you can face your crosses and bear them for him in him. And give a witness to how are you getting through this with by God's grace and by Christ's strength I am. Ultimately, to give God glory. What is your chief end? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. What is your chief and highest end? To glorify God and to fully enjoy him forever. You want to glorify God, beloved? You want to enjoy God? Are you looking for great opportunities to glorify God and enjoy God? I've got it, I've got it. He shows you here in the text the biggest way to glorify God, the most wonderful way to enjoy him to the fullest. Not by your mighty works, but by your major weeping. Not by looking out from mountaintop experiences during the pinnacles of your life, but by looking up from your valleys of the shadow of death. That, as you're thankful for your life because you don't even deserve it, that is where you glorify God the most. Because of his grace. My grace is sufficient for you. I mean, it's what was needing to be sufficient for you to even have him as your father to cry out to even have any hope of heaven and purpose for the pain in this life. It's his grace that is sufficient to get you into heaven. Is it not enough to get you along the narrow way in the meantime? Yes, it is. If God did not spare his own son for your eternal life, will he not much more give you all things you need in this life? Yes, he will. Unmerited favor. His grace is sufficient. Yeah, this is the thing. Beloved, remember who you serve so that you give glory to God. He's letting you suffer so you serve him better. So you give him more glory. That's your purpose. That's your chief end, is to glorify him. So let us welcome suffering so that we give him more glory. Remember who you serve, but also remember what you deserve. The wrath of God. You serve the glory of God. You deserve the wrath of God. Keep that perspective in your pain. God's grace is given to you for his glory. In salvation and in sanctification, in suffering, you're always serving him. And as we've been encouraged recently to remember, God never wastes your pain. There's a point to it. There's a purpose to it. There's a plan in it. Does he call you to suffer through it longer than you would like? Then he's calling you to give him more glory. Wouldn't you like that? Paul says, yes. Most gladly then will I keep the thorn. Most gladly will I suffer more for my Savior. If it's going to show him more glory, then stick it in deeper and leave it in longer. And I can glory in that. I can be content in that. The Greek could be translated, most gladly could be translated, sweetly. Sweetly. You look at the Greek and it has the idea of a sweet taste or a sweet smell. Most gladly will I suffer. It's starting to smell good. It's starting to taste good. I'm learning how to suffer by learning to be content. That is, that learning to have God's grace be sufficient, and it's starting to smell good and helping me to be a sweet savor and aroma of a sacrifice unto him. You see, what is bitter, beloved, can be made sweet as you taste and see that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Working all things for your good as he conforms you for the greatest good for you, more into the image of Christ. Your sufferings are the sweetest fellowship with Christ. Paul says that. Psalm 73 that you sang this morning is your testimony. Let it be more and more your testimony. I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And how does he close the psalm? It was good to draw near to God. You see, the solution to your suffering is not to be loosed of it. The solution to your suffering is to learn how to do it. The school of suffering, remember, is how you learn contentment anyways. It's how you learn sufficiency anyways. Go to God to get grace to give glory. Whatever your need be, he will meet you there and meet your needs to the level that you need at every moment. And he wants you to get to where that's as far as you need to go. Not even not tomorrow, but the moment you're in. If we're going to learn and not worry about tomorrow and let today be sufficient, God's grace has to be sufficient each moment of the day, or we'll never get it. We'll never get that sufficiency in our experience. He'll meet your every moment. If you cry out to him and hear his answer. In his book, Holiness, Jerry Bridges shares a quote by John Blanchard. God supplies perfectly measured grace to meet the needs of the godly. For daily needs, there is daily grace. For sudden needs, sudden grace. For overwhelming need, overwhelming grace. Is your heart overwhelmed on the edge of the earth? Let the Lord lead you to the rock that is higher than you. And there learn his grace is sufficient for you. And be content in your suffering. Often you will need to remember Romans 8 and just ask the Holy Spirit to groan for you. And trust that it's enough for God and for you. We had to do that this week. You just ask the Holy Spirit to groan for you because that's all you got. And trust he'll graciously do that for you. And it'll be sufficient for that prayer. How gracious is that? Often you just have to ask the Holy Spirit to do for you what Jesus says he is for you. And what is that? The comforter. The counselor. He's within you there to do that. You ask for comfort. That's his job. You ask for grace of comfort for that moment, and he will supply it in his presence, and he will always be enough. Just ask for more mercy each moment, and it will be yours, beloved. I'm not telling you he's going to take away the pain or the suffering. I'm not telling you he's going to take away the moment. I'm telling you he'll meet you in the moment, and it will be enough. To get through the moment. Don't even worry about the next moment. That has been our lesson the last 2 years. So often Jennifer and I had to cry out to God to get through a moment of long pain that really never went away, but particularly came out. Holy Spirit, you are the comforter. Please just comfort us right now. Please just now. I don't know what's going to happen. Please, just right now, please comfort us right now. We need your comfort right now. He always answered that prayer. He didn't take the thorn away. but he always gave us his gracious comfort. We have had to pray that the last 2 weeks. We've had to pray that over the last few days. We've had to ask the Holy Spirit to groan for us, and we've had to ask the Lord to dry our tears by simply comforting us in the moment. And his grace was sufficient for us. It didn't take away the loss. It didn't take away the pain. It didn't take away any problem at all. It was just enough. And until you go there, you'll never get anywhere with being content. Nothing will be sufficient. You'll never have the peace that is only from Christ and never to be found in this world. Your suffering won't go necessarily, but you will be satisfied. And most importantly, God will be glorified. Sufficient is God's grace for you. Think about this. The word sufficient comes first in the literal order of the Greek. You could translate it something like this: sufficient to you the grace of me. I find that helpful. God's grace is sufficient for me is certainly fine, but literally sufficient. Ah, beloved, do we not need to start there to believe the rest? Start there in your prayers as often as you need. Sufficient. Sufficient. Each time your thorn pricks you with pain, respond not with suffering, I'm suffering, but with sufficient, sufficient, sufficient is my Savior. Not, ow, but Jesus. Not, please go away, but by God's grace and for God's glory, I will stay. Don't worry about tomorrow and whether or not you will be relieved of your duty to suffer. Take more of your Savior today and serve him in your suffering and let that be sufficient for you. Let his grace be enough. Let him be enough. I have been praying for grace to be sufficient regularly, but not so much for me, for my beloved missions professor. And I thank you for praying for him. As you know, he's lying there now in Ohio, dying of Lou Gehrig disease. He can't move. He can't hardly breathe. He can't eat. He can't speak. When they move him, it makes him gag. And he knows he's going to die. Imagine lying there completely helpless to even help yourself. What other thing can I ask for besides please take him home? But in the meantime, please let your grace be sufficient for him. What else can you ask for? There's no going back. There's no healing. There's no relief from the pain. Those are not options. There's no saving him from certain and imminent death. There's no other prayer that can be given than please let your grace be sufficient for him. And to trust he will answer that prayer. I pray it regularly. Grace is needed, especially when there can be nothing else. Grace is needed to glorify God, not only for the sufferer, but for the one serving the sufferer and the one who survives the sufferer. For the sufferer suffers no more, but the suffering of the survivor never ends. So I pray not only for my professor, but for his wife and his children, who can do nothing to stop the suffering and nothing to stop his dying. And then are going to have to survive without him. My beloved professor will soon be relieved of his horrible suffering. And that is a relief to us. I'm finding I'm more able to be relieved to consider how Jennifer is relieved from her horrible suffering. Soon he will be relieved of his horrible suffering, and he will say as he enters into heaven, "Indeed, your grace was sufficient for me. Indeed, your grace is sufficient for me. I am in heaven. I see your face, Jesus. I suffer no more. I am at your right hand. I now have fullness of joy. I now have pleasures forevermore." So you and I, who are left behind for now to suffer still, can be still and know that he is God, and he will be exalted, and your glory will be revealed ultimately when Jesus returns for you on the last great day. In the meantime, when you're on the rack, remember your Redeemer and remember in him your resurrection. This is your hope. Are you lying still? Are you lying helpless? Are you hurting and bleeding and even screaming? So was your Savior nailed to the cross. And God did not answer his prayer when he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" So that you'll never experience that. But always, even in your greatest suffering, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He raised himself up. He will raise you up one day. And then, and even today, beloved, you will find God's grace is sufficient for you. Beloved, sufficient for you is God's grace. Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, we do cry out to you for comfort, O Holy Spirit. We simply bring before and lay at your feet our sufferings. Each one of us has our sufferings, has our pain. Show us the purpose and the plan. Ultimately, if we can't know the details of providence, to know it is to glorify you, it is to praise you. Let us embrace our sufferings more. It doesn't mean we have to pretend they're not sufferings. But let us embrace them more to sing to the Savior, to let our lament laud you, to glorify you even in our grief with some of the most powerful, mighty testimony we could ever give to the world, to draw them to our suffering servant who is raised from the dead. Lord, we do cry out and pray you keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who will come for us and raise us up out of our graves and restore our souls to our body with a grand family reunion where we will never cry or suffer. We will enjoy your glorious provision forevermore of yourself face to face. Indeed, our present sufferings are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that you will reveal to us in heaven, and the new heaven and the new earth. But we are frail and we are weak, so we come and cry, O Lord, please remove our thorns, but even more, restore and revive and renew us in greater degrees of your grace, to be sufficient for us to suffer more, to give you more glory. For this is our chief end, and even we will enjoy more fellowship with you there as we find you sufficient there for us. Thank you for the promise of the relief of all suffering for us in heaven in Christ. And let us remember that whatever we do suffer here is the only hell we will ever know. Though we deserve hell and pain, body and soul forever, we will never experience that forever, because because of your sovereign grace. Let that thought be sufficient for us, and let us indeed take full advantage of your means of grace this day of rest from our suffering to serve you better this week and give you more glory in it all. And we close praying as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before the Lord dismisses us with his blessing, we will bless his name with Psalm 117 on page 259 of your Psalter. Please stand.
Da, 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 da.
Receive Christ's benediction to you from heaven, from the triune God, given to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, following your text today. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.